Good morning and welcome to Trinity Today.
We're thankful that you're here and we're thankful for our country.
God bless America.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. Welcome to those of you who are watching this at home. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. It's so wonderful to have you with us today. Today's worship service is brought to you by the number 4, because I noticed that not only is today the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, but we are also continuing our sermon series on the Ten Commandments. We're going to be covering the fourth commandment today. And it also happens to be 4th of July weekend. So 4-4-4. Now, if I had noticed this ahead of time, I probably would have picked Divine Service 4 for our worship, but I didn't notice. So today we are going to be using Divine Service Setting 1, and that is found on page 151 in your hymnal. As we consider what it means that God has given us authority as a church to go and preach the gospel, but that he also calls us to honor and obey authority according to the fourth commandment, we also give thanks to God for this country that he has given to us, where we do have the freedom to gather, and that within the authority that we have as a nation, that we can gather together freely to worship the Lord and to receive his gifts. So we do give thanks to God for his gift of the United States of America as we celebrate Independence Day weekend and as we come together and worship. Please stand as we begin our worship with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn now to the introit, which is printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. The heavens declare the glory of God. Day to day pours out speech. Their measuring line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The heavens declare the glory of God. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. Continue to send your messengers to preserve your people in true peace, that by the preaching of your word, your church may be kept free from all harm and danger. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word.
Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Isaiah chapter 66, beginning with verse 10. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all whom mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle for today is taken from Galatians chapter 6 as follows. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money back, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him, but if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of our town, of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. Our sermon hymn today is number 660, Stand Up for Jesus. So I'm going to invite you to remain standing as we sing the hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for the sermon this morning is the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And to help us to discuss the fourth commandment, we're going to take a closer look at the gospel reading from Luke chapter 10, where Jesus sends out 72 of his followers into all these different towns and villages where he himself was about to go. He gives them authority to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. And what this helps us to see is that wherever God's authority is, even if it's at home, parental authority with children, or even out in society with government, but anywhere where God's authority is recognized and honored, that's where his people are loved and protected from all kinds of evil. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the fourth commandment is really kind of like the first commandment in the second category of commandments. So we sometimes call this the second table of the law. And the first three commandments are all about how we are to love God, how we are called to love him. We shall not have other gods. We shall not misuse his name. We remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. But once you get to the fourth commandment and all the commandments after that, it's all about now how we are to love other people, how we are to love our neighbors. The reason why we start this second category with this one, honor your father and your mother, is because for most of us, when you're a baby, these are the first neighbors you have. You have your mom and your dad. Now, obviously, there's lots of situations that are unique out there where maybe that's not exactly the case, but generally speaking, even before we know how to talk, we learn how to love our parents, how to honor our father and our mother. That's going to look different depending on what stage of life you're in, obviously. So when you're little, honoring father and mother is a lot of simply obeying their rules, doing what they say, right? Sometimes it might look a little like what Max did to me the other day. So we were the last day of vacation Bible school, we were all over at the gym, and Max walks up to me, and he's got a gift for his dad. He's got this look on his face, and he's sticking out his hand to me, and I reach down, and I look, and it's a dead spider, you know? Like, gee, thanks, I feel really loved right now, you know? But, you know, I'm just glad he didn't put it in his mouth or anything like that. So, I mean, that's kind of what loving and honoring father and mother look like when you're little, but then you get older, you get into those young adult, teenage years, things start to get a little different, right? Because now you're gaining some independence, and you're really starting to think differently in some areas from your parents in a lot of cases. Maybe you don't agree with everything they ever say or do. And so now you got to kind of learn, all right, how can I honor and love my mother and my father even when we are not exactly the same person anymore, right? And those can be really critical years and very difficult years to navigate. And then you move on and, you know, children grow up into adults and parents get older, and then eventually it's not really about obeying their parental authority anymore. Now honoring father and mother is more about caring for them, caring for their health concerns maybe, or just honestly, just spending time with them, right? Carving out really precious hours out of your schedule to just go and spend time with your parents, bring the grandkids over to visit, whatever the situation might be. Now, obviously, what we're talking about here is the ideal situation, right? The way that God kind of sets these things up for us. And it doesn't always work out that way. I understand, of course, there are times when people make mistakes along the way. Parents make mistakes. Their children make mistakes. Sometimes those mistakes are really big, and sometimes those mistakes will put a strain on that relationship and maybe even change that relationship entirely. If you have a strained relationship with your parents or with your children, maybe honoring and loving in your situation, maybe even just for a short time, is something you have to do from a distance because of whatever's going on. But no matter what it is that you're going through, if you have a great relationship with your parents or your kids or you don't, hopefully all of us can agree that having earthly parents is a blessing from the Lord. The office of parenthood, the vocation of parenthood, this is a good thing. This is a God-pleasing thing that he establishes for us. And it's really important because you've probably noticed, just like I have, that this world is crazy. There's a lot of scary things out there. We need our parents. Parenthood offers protection in the face of evil. Parenthood offers structure when everything else is spiraling out of control, and especially in those earliest years of our lives. We literally, if we didn't have parents, or at least somebody stepping into that parental role, we literally would not be able to survive in this broken world. Now, just like we've done these last few weeks with the other commandments, I think it's also helpful to take a look at what Martin Luther has to say in the Small Catechism in his explanation. So the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. There's a lot to unpack there, but I want to start by just focusing on that one little phrase, and other authorities. Because this commandment is not just about moms and dads. Anyone who is placed in any sort of authority over you, according to the fourth commandment, is to be treated and cherished as though they are a blessing from the Lord. That means if you're still in school, that counts as your teachers, your principal. If you're someone who works, it might be your boss. If you're someone who goes to church, it might be your pastor. And yes, it may be your government, even if that's a hard pill to swallow at times. We are called by the fourth commandment to obey the law of the land, to pay our taxes, to be guarded and thoughtful and careful in the way that we discuss politics and politicians. And yes, even to pray for those politicians, even the ones that we didn't vote for, as that might be the case this Sunday and every Sunday in the prayer of the church when we pray for those who are elected to be in positions of authority over us. And believe me, the irony is not lost on me that we are talking about the fourth commandment on 4th of July weekend, this Independence Day weekend. And I promise I didn't intentionally plan this sermon series to fall that way, but it is really interesting that at the same time we are celebrating our founding fathers in this nation fighting against and declaring independence from a tyrannical British government, and yet out of the other side of our mouth we're saying that government is a blessing from God. I was reading earlier this week about one of the most famous symbols of the Revolutionary War. And it's one that actually, believe it or not, it actually reminded me of today's gospel reading from Luke chapter 10, but we'll get to that in just a second. The symbol that I was reading about is a flag that's known as the Gadsden flag. And it's called that because it was designed by a man named Christopher Gadsden, who happened to be in the mid to late 1700s. He was a politician in South Carolina, and then later on he became one of the generals of the Continental Army. The Gadsden flag that he designed is still pretty familiar to many of us. A lot of us know it as that big yellow flag with a coiled up rattlesnake in the middle that says, "Don't tread on me." That's the Gadsden flag. Now, that flag, the symbolism behind the rattlesnake, I mean, part of it is because rattlesnakes, along with bald eagles, these are creatures that did not exist at that time back home in England. So these were specifically American symbols, American creatures. But Christopher Gadsden liked this image of a rattlesnake coiled up because he kind of saw the American patriots that way. That they were just ready to defend themselves to the hilt if they were provoked and attacked. even when those attacks sometimes came from within. Sometimes when these attacks came from things that we're supposed to be giving thanks to God for, like our God-given government, or maybe in that case, a God-given king. That rattlesnake was there to attack and say, "Don't tread on me." Now that reminds me of the gospel reading, because here in Luke chapter 10, I think we see a really interesting example of the way that God-given authority can and should be used to thwart evil of all kinds in this world. Basically saying to Satan, "Don't tread on me." Here in this passage, you have Jesus sending out 72 of his followers, and they go out into all of these different towns and villages. They are getting ready to hear the gospel in these places. And so the disciples are given this authority to go and tell the people that the kingdom of God is near to them. But Jesus makes it very clear, he's kind of blunt about this in the beginning of our passage, that this is not going to be a very easy task for many of them. So he even says, like right away in verse 3, depending on where they end up, he says, "Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves," which, I mean, that doesn't sound very promising, right? Now, thankfully, we know at the end of the passage that all 72 of these individuals who went out, they all came back in one piece, so they didn't get torn apart like lambs in the midst of wolves. When they come back, they're very, very excited, and they're saying to Jesus, "Well, even the demons are subject to us in your name." They think that's really cool, and Jesus responds to them by saying, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all over all the power of the enemy." Now, the "don't tread on me" Gadsden flag is a symbol of defense. It's about only having to fight when provoked and otherwise sitting tight in your coil and waiting. But what Jesus is talking about here, he's talking about authority to go on the offense, to go on the offense against Satan and against his entire army of demons. And he gives that authority to the church. He gives that authority to people who believe and trust in him. He gives that authority to ordinary people like these 72 in Luke chapter 10. But he also gives that authority to people like you. People like me, people here in good old Hoyleton, we have the authority to tread on serpents. Because even though the old evil foe now means deadly woe, well, guess what? One little word can fell him. And so this is what God arms us with as we go out into that scary world. He gives us his word. He gives us his sacraments. We have everything that we need. And on top of that, we have his authority to do so. The entire reason why God gives you this authority is the same reason why he gives authority to parents as they raise their children. It's because God's authority is the thing that we need in order to protect us from harm, in order to protect us from all kinds of evil that is out there. Parents do this for their children. God does this for his church. It's not about us. It's not about how great we are. It's all about his power. It's not about ours. And that's why Jesus actually redirects their focus here. When they're all excited about the demons being subject to them, he redirects them in verse 20. He says, "Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." That's the whole point. No matter what happens here on earth, your name is written in heaven. And so, yeah, there are some really great things and powerful things that can be done with God's authority. Think about here in our congregation. I mean, we could have a situation where we could go out and evangelize this entire community, and we could bring a record number of souls to Christ. But what are we going to rejoice in? Are we going to rejoice in our church attendance numbers and our school enrollment? No, we rejoice that our names and their names are written in heaven. Same thing happens on a smaller scale, maybe at home with parents and their kids. You have a parent who does a really good job of raising their child to be a productive member of society, and maybe that kid is one who's smart and athletic and has all kinds of talents and is special for all kinds of reasons. And that parent might proudly display the world's best mom or world's best dad mug or t-shirt that they got for Mother's Day or Father's Day. But is that what we're rejoicing in? No. We don't rejoice in how great we are, what we choose to do with this authority. We rejoice simply that our names are written in heaven. If we want to know how to obey authority as well as how to exercise authority, the perfect example, of course, is to look to Jesus Christ, who is given all authority on heaven and on earth as the Son of God, and yet who uses that authority for your benefit, to bless you, to lay down his life for you, to protect you from evil. He willingly subjected himself to earthly authority, even to the point of enduring crucifixion, all so that you and I could live forever. That's the best example there is. That's what we remember as we strive to then live our lives according to the fourth commandment. And even as we celebrate this weekend, all of our freedom, all of our independence as a nation, this 4th of July holiday, we still acknowledge that even within that freedom, it is a good thing when we obey the law, when we willingly subject ourselves to authority that God has given to us, when children obey their parents. These are good and God-pleasing things. And you know what? The devil can wave his don't tread on me flag all he wants to, but we serve the one who crushes the head of the serpent and who also protects us from that same serpent, even sometimes when that threat comes from within us. Sometimes it's things that we do that we shouldn't do, but we're kind of like a toddler reaching out to our Heavenly Father, right, with something in our hand, and we trust that when that thing in our hand is a dead spider, he's going to take it away from us so we don't shove it into our mouths. That's what God's authority does. It keeps us safe. It protects us from harm. And ultimately, it protects us spiritually and eternally. So that's why we live under that protection and that authority every single day until the time comes when every single thing that threatens us will be gone forever. We will finally, on that day, experience true freedom, true independence in heaven. May God grant it for Jesus' sake, and to God alone be the glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. We now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith, and this morning we will confess the Nicene Creed, which, if you need the words, it is printed for you on page 158. We confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In our prayers today, we do have just a couple updates for you. Under recovering from surgery, we continue to pray for Roy Dale. He had good news this week. He did have cancer in his appendix, but that cancer has not spread, and his appendix has been removed, so he is believed to be cancer-free. So we give thanks to God for that, and he is now at home recovering. We also give thanks to God today for two births. First, Vivian Rose Stenback. That would be the daughter of Jake and Jessica Boozer Stenback. And also the birth of Ren Leona Story, born to Chris and Christina Story this week. Let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord of the harvest, we pray that you would continue to send laborers into your vineyard, that the plentiful harvest may be gathered into the peace of your kingdom. Grant us faithful pastors who receive your word with thanksgiving and deliver it without fear, even when wolves threaten to devour them, and who trust that in the Lord their labor is not in vain. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and our sister congregation Trinity Lutheran in Nashville and TSJ Lutheran School, and their pastor David Benning. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we give you thanks today for this great nation in which we live and for our freedom to gather and worship you today and every day. In this sin-sick world, we ask you to give peace to all nations, that all people may enjoy the comforting goodness of your will being done on earth. Hear our prayers on behalf of all who make, administer, and judge our laws, and provide opportunities for your gospel to be proclaimed without hindrance. Bless President Biden, Governor Pritzker, and all others who have been given the great responsibility to lead the American people in their vocations. Protect and guide the members of our armed forces, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, Lucas, and Mark. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, your Son sent the 72 with the charge to enter homes to proclaim peace and declare the coming of your kingdom. Grant our homes to be places in which your peace dwells, that husbands and wives love and honor one another. Children are nurtured in fear and faith toward your name, and your kingdom comes among us. Bless all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Ruth, Grady, Mackenzie, Colt, Linda, Wallace, Gina, Addison, John, Rylan, Willa, and Cameron. We also give you thanks and praise for the healthy births of Vivian Rose Stenback and Ren Leona Story. And we pray that as these children grow, that you would give an extra measure of grace to them and to their parents and lead them to the washing of rebirth and renewal in holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy. Generous Father, as we anticipate the LCMS youth gathering scheduled in Houston, Texas later this week, we ask for your blessings upon all who are traveling. Be especially with our 9 YPS youth and our 4 adult chaperones, and keep us safe as we make this journey. Help us to learn and grow by the things that we see, hear, and experience, and help us each believe and trust that your Son, Jesus Christ, is in all things. Lord, in your mercy. God of all compassion, in your Son you have borne the burdens of all mankind. Look with mercy upon all for whom we pray, especially those who are on our prayer list, those who are in care facilities, Nancy, Thretta, Ferris, Wilfred, Bill, Richard, Carlene, Helen, Jim, Imogene, Bessie, and Brian. Continue to be with Roy as he recovers from his recent surgery, and be with all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Daryl, Joan, Wayne, Amy, Eric, Patrick, Rebecca, Beulah, Carolyn, Doug, Millie, Bradley, Jamie Lynn, Wayne, Andrea, Gladys, Linda, Missy, Chris, Sam, Paula, Kim, and all those who are fighting cancer. According to your gracious will, restore these servants with strength and healing now, and grant them patience to await the resurrection on the last day. Lord, in your mercy, God of Israel, as your people of old drank and were satisfied by your abundant comfort shown to Jerusalem, may we likewise be satisfied to eat and drink of your Son's body and blood, given for our comfort today. Lord, in your mercy. How awesome are your deeds, O Lord. You have planted us and directed us to pray that you would send workers into your vineyard. You have answered that prayer through your Son and his church. As your kingdom draws nearer each day, teach us to boast only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, rejoicing that our names are written in heaven. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. And at this time, I will invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand. We now sing the words of the offertory found at the bottom of page 159. And we continue now with our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Please stand. We will now join together in our post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord, on page 164. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated, and our closing hymn is number 662, Onward, Christian Soldiers.
Thank you.
Good morning. Just a few announcements we have today before we leave and go enjoy the rest of this holiday weekend. First, I wanted to, the first note I see here is that we will have the office closed tomorrow for the 4th of July. And so if you need anything from us in the office, if you just wait until Tuesday, unless it's an emergency. And also, there's a note in the bulletin that is letting you know that Jane is going to be on vacation all of this week. So Mr. Schaff and I will do our best to hold the fort down after tomorrow, but just be aware that the office will be closed tomorrow. Elders changed their meeting time this month, so elders, we're going to be getting together this coming Wednesday night, and that's July 6th. That'll be at 7 o'clock. There's a lot of changes for next week that I want to bring to your attention. The first, next Sunday, Hofbräufest is coming, so we're all excited about that. But the first thing that you need to note is that there will not be any Sunday school for our children next Sunday, so no Sunday school on the 10th. It also happens to be, because the youth gathering, we're leaving on Friday, I will not be in town next weekend. And so because of that, we are going to have guest preacher, Pastor James Miller, who used to be the assistant pastor in Nashville. He's going to be coming back from St. Louis to preach for us next Sunday. Normally, when we have Hofbräufest, we have an opportunity for workers to come to an early, shorter service in the park under the pavilion, and Pastor James has let me know that he is willing to do that for us next Sunday. So if you are going to be working on Sunday at Hofbräu, you can come at 8 o'clock underneath the pavilion to a short 30 minutes or less worship service. That'll be in the park. Then Pastor James is going to come over and do Bible study for adults here in the sanctuary. Probably we'll be starting a little bit later than 8:30, so please be aware of that. And then, of course, we'll have the regular worship service at 9:30. In addition to that, something else that I wanted to bring to your attention is that there is going to be a need for youth to help at the Hofbräufest, especially because 9 of our youth are going to be down in Houston. Those of us who are still here in Hoyleton, we really could use your help. On Saturday, we're going to need some volunteers for the soda stand. And then early on Sunday morning, there's going to be an opportunity for youth to help clean up in the park. So if you are around and available, would you please let Kirk Meyer know? And then we will be able to plan on you being there. And then going forward, one other thing I needed to mention. While I am out of town, which will be from this Friday the 8th until next Thursday the 14th, during that time, any pastoral emergencies, you can contact Pastor Tim Miller from New Minden and Covington. He will cover for me while I'm gone. His phone number is there in the bulletin, or you can contact the office. One other quick thing, just looking ahead, the quarterly voters meeting is coming up here in July. That is scheduled for Monday night, July 18th, 7 o'clock, right here in the sanctuary. Please mark that on your calendar. And in advance of that, church board leaders, other officers, those who would be attending the agenda meeting, that will be taking place Tuesday, July 12th at 7 o'clock. One other thing, the trustees are ready to tackle the Parsonage Roof Project, and they have indicated that they will begin that work Monday, July 11th, and the plan is to work on it every evening starting at 5 o'clock, basically until the sun goes down. There's going to be a need for volunteers, so if you are available to come and help with the Parsonage Roof, you can come any day that week. Starting at 5 o'clock and working into the evening, and the plan is to hopefully get that done within a week. So if you have any questions about that, you can talk to Larry Rademeyer. He can answer those questions for you. Are there any other questions or concerns before we leave today? I think I covered everything. Okay, then if not, again, may God bless you this Independence Day weekend. God bless America. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for joining us. Have a blessed week.